Breaking news to start hour two. Caleb Farley. Very exciting. The Titans and cornerback Caleb Farley, this according to Ian Rappaport, have agreed on their first round contract, a 4-year, $13.495 million deal. That's fully guaranteed. Titans get their first round pick locked up before rookie minicamp begins tomorrow. So that's very timely by them. A lot earlier, it feels like, than they normally do. I feel like we were waiting forever for Isaiah Wilson is a different matter entirely. But I feel like we waited pretty late into the offseason for them to sign their first-round picks typically. So maybe like Caleb Farley's like, hey, let me get this money before anybody figures out what's going on with my back.
I saw Asante Samuel Jr. signed his yesterday. I thought that was early. These are coming out earlier than I'm used to here.
Well, you know, small potatoes. But newsworthy and noteworthy, given that rookie minicamp begins tomorrow. Of course, I'll be out there on, well, I guess the only day they're making available to us is on Saturday, but I will be out there on Saturday at St. Thomas Sports Park, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing what everything looks like, because the whole thing's been under construction, and I'm pretty sure that the new media room, where they keep us all corralled together, now their facility has been under construction, so things have changed over there since the last time I was over there. And, of course, none of you care about this because you don't get to go over and be stuffed in the media room that we are typically herded into. But the construction at St. Thomas Sports Park, I'm pretty sure we're in the new wing the media room is, which is as far away from football as humanly possible. They're just sending us to the opposite end of the building. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, probably not on accident.
Yeah, no, I'd imagine that's so. We have also been receiving tremendous praise on Twitter, at Buck Rising, at Lucas Panzikas, where you can interact. Joe Hunk, who is the producer for 3HL. Joe Hunk has tweeted us, says, I'm over here listening to Buck Rising on 104.5 The Zone while I walk to get gas. He took a picture of a red gas can that he's carrying. It looks just like he's walking down the side of the road with gas. Lucas has secured gas. I filled up my tank yesterday because I didn't know there was a gas shortage going on. Because there's not in Tennessee. People are just dumb. It's a problem. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. 615-737-1045. I want to know how you feel about the schedule. We haven't talked much about this yet this morning, but there's a great deal of information to digest. Now, as we mentioned at the top of the show, a win-loss prediction at this point, meaningless. But there are factoids of note, like the amount of playoff teams from last season that they'll play, 7 in 8 games, 3 primetime appearances, Monday Night Football against Buffalo. They will have Sunday Night Football against the Los Angeles Rams in the new SoFi Stadium, which looks beautiful. And then Thursday Night Football in Week 16 against the San Francisco 49ers here in Nashville. 2 primetime games here in Nashville at Nissan Stadium. I think we'll finally, because they've been talking about this light show that they put in, like the I don't want to call them strobe lights, but Alabama has the same thing. The Baltimore Ravens have the same in-arena lights, for lack of a better term. And so the Titans had like 2 opportunities to use them last year, and they were during day games, so nobody ever saw them. So that's something I'm thinking about outside of schedule. With the Titans, though, if you're gonna take it seriously, as Lucas mentioned, to be done with the Colts as early as they're going to be done with the Colts, October 31st, Halloween, to get that out of the way and be done with your toughest division rival before week 8 at that point, it is a great sigh of relief. But in the middle of all that is also the stretch of the schedule where you see the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, at Indianapolis, as we mentioned, and then at L.A., week 6 through 9. Nice. It is going to be the most difficult stretch of their season, because at that point we'll have a better idea of who Buffalo is, who Kansas City is, where Indianapolis is going to be with Carson Wentz, and how the Matt Stafford experiment, if you want to call it that, is going to go in Los Angeles. I would be willing to bet that by the time we make it to November the 7th that Deshaun Jackson is not playing professional football for the Los Angeles Rams. If I had to bet the under on anything, it would be that. By the way, we bet Well, I think both Lucas and I bet the Braves day game right after Jack Gentry gave us the bet.
Yes. So if we lose, it's on Jack.
Well, come directly out of his A to Z Sports paycheck. I'll see that it does. But for this stretch, weeks 6 through 9, you're looking at probably the two teams, I think, in this conference that pose the greatest threat to you as the Titans, that pose the greatest threat to the success or the failure, non-division, because, of course, to be able to win your division is paramount. But Buffalo and Kansas City are going to be the greatest threats to the Titans. In another year, it would be the Ravens. They're not on your schedule. I don't think much of Pittsburgh at all, to be quite honest with you. But I'm going to look at this and say, I'm not doing this based off their success or failures last year. Because you're doing, this is why schedule predictions are dumb. You're doing the results for this coming season based off last year's results. Not taking into account free agency, not taking into account coaching changes, staff changes, things that matter, rookie draft classes, all of these things. But Buffalo and Kansas City, the core of those teams are built, and they are ready to contend. Your best shot at proving just how ready you are, or just how close or far away from contention you are, is against Kansas City. Now, Buffalo seems to be on the rise. The defense got substantially better after the Titans kicked them in the teeth in week 5 or 6, whenever the Rona Tuesday night game was played. They got markedly better. Josh Allen, it seems, is on the right trajectory for a quarterback in the AFC. I think it's going to be the Bills division to lose in the AFC East. Now, Teron Davenport, I was reading through everybody's being asked to do schedule predictions or just some kind of analysis so that we have something to put in an article, something to print, something for people to click on, right? That's not Teron's fault. Everybody at ESPN does it. But Teron has them sweeping the entirety of the AFC East. The Jets, the Patriots, and the Dolphins. So you're going to sweep Corey Davis.
And the Bills.
And the Bills. Which is obviously the most one, or the one that's most in question, you would say. Because I don't know where the Jets are with a rookie quarterback.
It's the most Super Bowl contending roster in that division by far.
Buffalo, for sure. Well, I mean, I don't know. New England paid enough for one. Yeah. Nearly $200 million this offseason just to try and make Cam Newton salvageable, and if not, give something for Mac Jones to get off to a hot start with.
And you play New England late enough into the season where Mac Jones could be the starter by that point.
For sure. Because that will be Thanksgiving, the weekend after Thanksgiving at New England, Sunday, November the 28th. And then you have the bye. Now, week 13 bye, so huge. So huge in this expanded, the first time we've seen in 44 years, an expanded NFL regular season schedule. This is the thing that I think we're gonna talk about. I don't know how much we're gonna talk about it like leading up, but I think it's gonna be the thing that has the most to do with the success or failures of teams. How you manage the additional game, because it's gonna be brutal. Especially for a team like this, because the biggest strength of the Tennessee Titans is what? It's a running game. They have an exceptional running game. Last year, the biggest point of stress for them, their inability to get after the quarterback. You are so fortunate that Derrick Henry has not experienced any kind of major injury at this point in his career. And it's not like I'm going to go into this season assuming that everything has to revolve around Derrick Henry, although, again, it largely should. But I'm concerned with how much additional pressure, there's obviously going to be attention paid to Derrick Henry. He is probably, outside of Carson Wentz, the most impactful player in this division, minus Deshaun Watson, because as Rhett Bryan told me in the hallway as I was walking back in here, doesn't sound like any of these women who have civil suits out against Deshaun Watson are interested in settling.
And there's many of them.
They're taking this to Deshaun Watson. And I think it is highly unlikely that we see him play professional football in 2021. So outside of Deshaun Watson, it's Derrick Henry and the success or failure of Carson Wentz in this division. But you are one A.J. Brown injury away from having the worst pass-catching group, tight ends, wide receivers, in the division, certainly, damn near in professional football. Now, what we talked to Diana Russini about in the first hour was that Julio Jones is not being discussed, really, seriously, being discussed by this football team, by the people responsible for making personnel decisions with Tennessee.
She said Julio Jones will not sign with the Tennessee Titans.
Well, we kind of backed her into a hot take corner. And Diana, listen, always willing to provide content, so we appreciate Diana on that. She could be wrong, right? Like when you get out there on the plank, there's a good chance you're going to have to walk. Good chance. Tough to backtrack after that. But she put her name on it. She put her credibility on it. Julio Jones is not going to be a Titan in 2021. I am willing to stake my credibility on that as well. Because Diana talks to enough people at St. Thomas Sports Park or with the Titans to have a good grasp on the situation. To this point, locally, that is not something that is being legitimately discussed. Now, did they call and do due diligence on it? Sure, everybody did. As soon as Terry Fontenot, the general manager of the Falcons, spoke into a microphone, yeah, you know, we'll take calls like we'd take calls on any player. Well, this isn't any player. It's Julio Jones. Tennessee's not a feasible solution. So where else are they going to work? Where else are they going to find the salary cap capital to bring in additional help? Because they can't be done at this point. They simply can't be. Your position group at tight end is unsatisfactory. Your wide receiver group is putting a lot of faith in Josh Reynolds. And Diana said that many people around the league whom she talked to, because I think Diana broke that news, if I remember correctly, or at least she was one of the first around it. On Josh Reynolds, she said a lot of the teams that she talked to across the NFL thought highly of Josh Reynolds and that it was just a matter of opportunity, which could be entirely possible. But if you go from Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, Adam Humphries as your top three to A.J. Brown and Josh Reynolds and a bunch of dudes behind them, that's all Des Fitzpatrick is to me right now, just another dude. He could end up being a fine player. He could end up having a very successful career here in Tennessee. At this point, it is not safe to assume. In the same way that we are not going to make record prognostications, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Des Fitzpatrick is going to be immediate or is going to provide immediate impact to your football team. I think there are some things that he can do to help, certainly. They obviously do as well. But you are in a very, very stressful position right now with how thin your weaponry is on offense. And that's, I think, the place where we're going to be most hyper-focused on and where teams are going to be dialed in on, certainly over the course of that early part of the schedule. We'll talk more about this on the other side. We'll get into the primetime games, whether it's fair or foul that they got at least three or maybe only three. I don't know how you feel about it. 615-737-1045, 615-737-1045. 1045. I'm Buck Rising. It's 1045 The Zone. Happy birthday, Stevie Wonder. We got to celebrate some sweet, sweet, soulful tunes. Lucas back there singing on camera for those of you watching on Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, and Twitch. I do love me some Stevie Wonder. There are few people more just purely talented that really sing to your soul. Really get you going. And I know him, unlike the Isley brothers. People were so mad at us for that.
We deserved it.
Yeah, turns out. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. Here on the show, we are going to go through the most compelling games of 2021. Now, Titans Radio last night, with the help of Will Bowling and our own Lucas Panzeca, put together the 17 most compelling games of the upcoming year. Now, why 17? Just one for each week? Is that how you went about doing it?
I suppose Titans Radio, that crew put the list together. It was Will Bowling and I's responsibility to find out the times and dates.
Stevie Wonder is... Wait. B-Love just sent us a tweet that I don't think I understand. Lucas, can you fact check what V-Love just said?
Read it.
To me, I'm kind of...
Can you read it?
I don't know. I don't know because I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure I understand what he's saying. I think it's an allegation more than anything.
Oh, is it the conspiracy that he's not blind?
Yeah.
That is a conspiracy that is alive and well.
I don't want to accuse Stevie Wonder, you know, national treasure, beloved musical icon, of being not immediately the chat starts to flood in on Twitch. He's not blind. You guys are the worst. Out just here telling the blind that they're not blind. Don't they have it hard enough? You know, beat up on Stevie Wonder.
That is a real conspiracy theory.
Why? Are there like videos like of him reacting to things in front of his face? Like, what do you mean?
I have seen.
I feel like this is a problematic area that we're wading into. I feel like I'm going to get pulled off for something like this.
I have seen like videos of him that make it look questionable. I believe he is blind. I believe the man is blind.
I mean, if he tells me he's blind, I'm not going to accuse him otherwise. Unless
there's quite a commitment.
Unless there's clear and odd. I mean, this is what, 60 years? Steve, what? How old is Stevie Wonder? What birthday is that? Well, by the way, we'll have Stephen A. wish him a birthday here in just a second.
He's 71.
Okay, so a very happy 71st birthday to musical icon, legend, and, you know, alleged blind person, Stevie Wonder.
Happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
I mean, I care.
Had you never heard this theory?
No, I didn't know this was something swirling around the internet. Here I am prepared to talk about the 17 most interesting games on the NFL season. I'm much more interested in this. What is the genesis of the conspiracy theory against Stevie Wonder?
Oh, I don't know. I just know it's a thing.
Will Hodges says, Shaq on Twitch, Shaq has a story about him not being blind. So you have no information. You're just like, yeah, it's a thing, but
yeah,
I don't
Shaq
know.
Shaq has a story.
Shaq. What the hell kind of help is that? Like, I'm out here by myself for 3 hours a day. I ask you to do precious little. And so when you say that there are conspiracy theories about Stevie Wonder being blind, it can't just be when I ask you for said conspiracy theories. It can't just be, oh, yeah, it's a thing, but I don't know anything about it. I'm just out here accusing him of not being blind. What good is that to me?
Oh, you asked me to do precious little? Is that what it is?
Fair enough. 615-737-1045.
Okay, here it is. This is from Shaquille O'Neal.
Okay.
Quote, it's a true story.
Now, wait. Before you read this, make sure you don't Ron Burgundy something into existence. I'm giving you time.
He told this story on Inside the NBA.
That doesn't mean anything
on
to
TNT.
Me. Charles Barkley just got popped for saying reckless things about women in Georgia inside the NBA. Like, I'm not, that's not like a safeguard that you can cite. All right, go ahead, read it.
It says, okay, well, Kenny Smith pressed Shaq to tell this story. Apparently, Shaq was reluctant to tell the story on the air.
Stevie Wonder's people coming after
him. Pressed him. He said, I know the story. He's got to tell it. With a smile on his face, O'Neal went on to explain a chance meeting he had with Stevie Wonder. He said, quote, it's a true story. We lived in a building on Wiltshire. I'm coming through the lobby and the door opens. It's Stevie Wonder. He comes in and says, what's up, Shaq? How you doing, big dog? He presses the elevator button, gets off on his floor, buys something, and goes to his room.
Oh, shut up.
I went and called every person I knew. He said there's a video of him telling the story on Inside the NBA. So how did Stevie Wonder know it was Shaq?
Okay. I mean, I think Shaq is planet size. Like, Shaq has his own gravitational pull. You probably just feel when you're in the presence of somebody that massive. A literal mountain of a man. But the button on the elevator thing's pretty funny. Is it bad that I'm actively rooting for Stevie Wonder to just have been being, you know, just faked being
what,
blind?
What's more impressive? Being as talented as Stevie Wonder is as a musician and having that illustrious of a career, or successfully pretending to be blind for 70 years?
Man, it's got to be the blind thing. Like
pretending to be blind or actually being blind?
Well, no. Yeah, that's fair. I should probably clarify.
Yeah, the blind thing. That's what we're talking about.
The whole blind thing. Yeah, just the general whole blind thing. I think that it would be more impressive, Raymond Pfister. Never mind. I'm not going to read that comment from Raymond immediately. Lucas goes scurrying to the chat. Barrett says, true story, so it has to be true on YouTube. Yeah, so it would be more impressive for Stevie Wonder to have faked being blind for 71 years, I would think that that would be the more impressive accomplishment. Because at that point, it's like, again, another Anchorman reference. I'm not mad. I'm just impressed.
Yeah, either way, an incredibly talented human. However it shakes out, whether he pretended to be blind or he's actually blind, just an incredible human.
Also, by the way, what the hell is on our graphic today? I'm just noticing this for the first time. Is this the entire Titans schedule?
I told you this before the show.
Why? Why is that a thing?
I told you. I texted you.
Who is reading that?
I texted you last night and said the rundown graphic is just going to be the Titans schedule FYI, and you liked the message.
Well, that doesn't mean I read it. It just means I acknowledged its
existence. Yeah, you just
like
forget things I say to you. But I do this to you too, so it's okay.
So wait, Will Bowling put this together saying, because the people are watching this on Twitch, YouTube, Periscope, and Facebook Live. By the way, if you want to jump in, 615-737-1045, 615-737-1045. This chat is so gaudy. Like, who is logging in to this, and going, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend my time not watching the radio show that I've clicked on, but reading game by game in letters and colors that don't match the teams, the NFL schedule that's been put in a graphic jammed together in small print. The hell are we doing?
I'm not responsible for this. This is not my department.
Oh, maybe it should be. You don't got enough to do. Anyway, shall we talk about the schedule?
Yes, we put it out on a poll. What Titans game are you most excited for?
Yeah, so what do you want to do? You want to do Titans games you're excited for? We're live producing the show. We like to do things on the fly around here. Do you want to do the most compelling games, or do you want to do the favorite Titans games?
Let's start with the Titans.
Okay. So we put it on a poll at Buck Rising. You guys have had the ability to weigh in. Many of you had, and it's, you know, fill in the blank at this point. What is the game you're most excited for as a Titans fan? If you'd like to weigh in on the phones, you can do so. 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737-1045. Because I look at this differently. Crocky says the fonts and colors on the graphic are hideous. My eyes. At Will, I think it's _ Bowling. You guys probably all follow Will Bowling at this point. Just go yell at him. Just go. He's asleep because he worked too hard yesterday. Is what sources are telling me. Let's go smoke him out. Poor Will. Anyway, so I look at the schedule a little differently than you guys. I look at it one because, as we mentioned at the top of the show, I'm a show pony. I like primetime games. I like lights. I like cameras. I like action. So I'm excited about 3 primetime games. I'm also looking at, why would I follow Will Bowling, says Bebop. That's so mad. Or that's so bad.
How did this show turn into an anti-Will Bowling show?
It's always, we are, listen.
I really like Will Bowling.
Oh, I don't dislike him. But if I'm going to take a position as a show for us, I get 2 votes to your 1, okay? That's how we break ties around here. I am declaring with my 2 votes as chairman of the board for the Buck Rising show that we are an anti-Will Bowling show. I think that's an okay. That's a stance I'm comfortable taking.
The poor guy's not even here to defend himself.
Well, good. That's better. It's, you know, it's much easier to bully someone that way when they're not here. We've gotten so far away from the schedule. All right, what are people's games they're most excited about before my ADD derails us further?
V-Love says the LA Rams on Sunday Night Football because the tailgate crew is flying out.
Ooh. So I think LA is going to be popular. I think Seattle's going to be a big destination game for Titans fans. It just, I've never been myself. I'm excited to go. Never been to the state of Washington. Los Angeles I've been to a couple of times, but Seattle I think is going to be the biggest of the destinations, just looking at this. Like, L.A. is great. L.A. is also hugely expensive. I don't know what the cost of living or the cost of just, like, a weekend in Seattle is, but I imagine it's a little more cost-effective than Los Angeles might be. So, L.A., beautiful. I'm excited for that in early November. I'm going to need a break from the weather as it starts to turn. But Seattle, I think, is the game that I'm most pumped about.
And that's the first road game of the season, and it's the first time the Titans will have played in front of a capacity crowd, most likely. I mean, assuming it's a capacity crowd, since the AFC Championship game. And you're going to one of the best environments in the National Football League.
That's a good point. Like, people made a big deal about 2 things last year that they somewhat correlated to the lack of crowds. One, offensive production being up across the board, just because it's easier for quarterbacks to operate without crowd noise.
Communication.
On the road. It all but negated home field advantage for the home teams outside of, you know, the typical strain that travel puts on your body. Secondly, and this I don't think was a result, this is not something that was related to crowd size, but holding penalties were down as well, which I thought was interesting. They were a lot lighter on holding penalties, really, and it was an early trend that we saw, and it continued throughout the rest of the season, which I'm for, because the flags for holding, I think, bog it down
immensely. Need to check false start numbers.
False start numbers would be good to look at, because I'm sure there was a substantial difference from 2019 to 2020 without as many fans in the stands. But it's an excellent point, because Kansas City was the most hostile. Well, I don't know, because Baltimore the week before was pretty insane, too.
I mean, what was the toughest environment the Titans played in last season?
I would have to say the toughest environment that the Titans played in last season was probably Denver.
Just because of the altitude.
Because it's the first game of the year. Will Bowling, somebody has tweeted Will Bowling, and he has been informed of our slander, which makes me very happy. We'll update you on our hatred of Will. Not hatred. Hatred's too strong.
Strong word.
And it should be noted that Lucas is in favor. I, with my two votes as a show, am against. But I would say Denver.
And there wasn't a soul in that building in terms of fans. A few family members.
There were family members, but yeah, not enough to.
It's a stark contrast to what you're going to run into at the recently renamed Lumen Field in Seattle.
Probably 50 fans as opposed to whatever Denver's at Mile High's capacity is probably 55, 60,000. So Denver, because environment, altitude, temperature, and new team. Basically, new team, new parts. Clowney out there for the first time with like a week's notice.
Late game.
Steven Gostkowski missing kicks all over the field without any kind of fan environment. The 9:20 local time kickoff was awful. And that was one that I was very happy to not be on the road for because of all of the logistical nightmares that travel would be. And I don't even play in the football game. I just go and watch and sit in the press box and eat free food.
And also before you're used to playing in front of empty crowds. I remember Taylor Lewan talking about how eerie it was to be laying on his back, injured, getting looked at by trainers, and just deathly silence in the stadium.
Didn't he give the camera the middle finger? Like
He flipped off the drone cam.
He's real bothered. Poor guy. He has the presence of mind whilst lying strewn about. The giant 300-plus-pound rage monster is on his back, writhing in pain because that's what the NFL is.
But that had to be weird, though, because there's no preseason. That's the first game of the year. There's nobody in the stadium, and there's times where it's just hushed quiet. There had to be moments where players just looking at each other thinking, okay, this is weird.
Wait, what the hell just came across my Twitter timeline? Alan Bell just tweeted out a picture of Tennessee Governor Bill Lee and Tim Tebow live in Nashville.
Oh, no.
At some kind of podium. What the hell is going on? And I said that we would not do the Tebow thing past Tuesday when Tebow was a thing. But now it is. Oh, God. It's literally seeping into everything that we've done. Can you do some research on this real quick?
Well, the tweet. Did you read the tweet?
No, I'm just.
It says Tennessee Governor Bill Lee and Tim Tebow live in Nashville fighting human trafficking.
Oh, well, that would be a worthy cause. Here I am getting ready to savage Tim Tebow.
not a hill you want to die on,
I was
Buck.
So close.
You're about to, whatever they're doing, I rebuke it.
It's just about to open up. Just open up a can on Bill Lee and Tim Tebow together. But human trafficking, a worthy cause. This is why Diana was right. We can't have live stuff in front of my face.
Lebowski says the December 23rd night game at home against the 49ers is what he's most excited for. An all-day tailgating culminating in football and a Christmas Eve hangover.
Oof. Yeah. That's the other thing. I look at the schedule so much differently than everybody else. I'm looking for vacations that I want to take, people that I know in those cities, the bars and restaurants that are my favorite in those cities.
Yeah, but this couldn't work out better for you.
Oh, yeah, it's perfect because I don't have to work on Christmas. That's great. Saturday, my one day of the week off, perpetually, no football. Everybody's excited about, we get football. I'm like, what days do I not have football? Let me know.
John Miller says the Saints game, November 14th. Jake Irish says Bills Monday night at home in mid-October. It should be fun with great weather and many a broken table.
So they're tweeting out a Periscope of Bill Lee and Tim Tebow at this anti-human trafficking announcement. Can somebody write? Can we send somebody to infiltrate the chat? Can somebody go ask Tim Tebow if he's signing with the Jacksonville Jaguars in the human trafficking Periscope chat? I think we should do that. Let's find some constructive way outside of the fight against human trafficking, because of course that is of the utmost importance. But I would like for somebody to grill Tim Tebow in the Periscope chat. There's no way they have the comments in front of them. But I want somebody to ask. Just keep asking. Tim, are you playing for Urban Meyer in Jacksonville next year? Tim, how many touchdowns are you going to catch against the Titans in week, not week 18, because they end the season with Houston. What is it, week three?
Week five?
I literally just had the schedule. We're doing a schedule release show, and I don't have the schedule in front of me anymore. I just took it down. Damn it. 1 second. The Titans and Jags, they are at Jacksonville in week five. And then they host Jacksonville 14. Sunday the 12th.
Week 14.
December the 12th. Okay.
Out of a bye week.
So, Tim, what is your breakout performance going to come against the Titans after the bye week?
Well, the Titans come out of the bye week.
Well, I know, but like they're going to come out of the bye week and they're going to get smacked in the mouth because Tim Tebow is going to have a rushing touchdown, a passing touchdown, and a receiving touchdown to end the Titans playoff.
It's going to happen. If Tim Tebow is going to score a touchdown against any team.
All right, we're not doing Tim Tebow. We're not doing that. We're just not. All right, speaking of news, this segment has been all over the place. The jersey numbers for the Titans 2021 draft class have just come out. Caleb Farley, 23. Dylan Raidens, 75. Monty Rice, 56. Nobody's going single digits. Elijah Molden, 24. Des Fitzpatrick, 10. Rashad Weaver is apparently here for rookie minicamp, 99. So he'll take over Clowney's. Racing McMath, 81. Brady Breeze, 33. Nobody going single digits. Does that surprise you? I thought surely somebody would take three between Caleb Farley and Elijah Molden. Maybe I'm the only one who cares about single digit jersey numbers. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. The Twitter mentions, they are aflame today. Lucas was giggling like a schoolgirl back there. Something that somebody has tweeted us at Buck Rising is where you can interact with the show. We're here with you until 1 o'clock. Lucas, you want to read the tweet on the air?
Yeah, well, first of all, apologies to Will Bowling because I was using the wrong rundown. It is still just the schedule, but I was using the one we were using last night with the home versus away opponents, and I've updated it with the actual dates and weeks and opponents with the Titans schedule, but Gary Todd.
Good. So for more things for people not yes. to be able to read in small print.
Gary Todd tweeted us, said, who made the graphic? A blind guy with blind guy in all caps.
That's what made you laugh.
That's what I was giggling.
You're laughing at the blind at this point. I'll tell you something else that made me laugh before we get into one thing that the NFL absolutely has to eliminate with their scheduling process. It's the only thing I really care about with the schedule outside of, when I can plan my trips. So I'm scrolling through my Twitter feed during the commercial break, and I'm looking at this because the thing that has carried the conversation over the last 4 days, as much as Tim Tebow, as much as the Titans schedule, is this gas shortage thing. So there's a tweet that I've come across courtesy of WFLA News, because of course it comes to us from Florida. A Hummer burst into flames yesterday right after firefighters say the driver filled up 4 5-gallon containers of gasoline in Citrus County.
Is the driver okay?
It does not specify. Now, I do not wish ill on anyone physically, so I hope that the driver made it out alive. But also, you idiot.
Okay, firefighters say one person was injured but refused to be transported for treatment against medical advice.
What? It's me. It's
Florida,
me,
baby.
It's making this much harder for me to be, generous with human life at this point. But, you get to make your own choices, I guess. What possible reason could somebody have for refusing? Because he's got to have burns all over himself at this point. God knows what kind of physical condition he's in. What possible reason could you have for refusing medical treatment?
At least they use gas cans and not bags, not literal gas bags, as you like to say.
Yeah, we stopped saying that after we looked it up on Urban Dictionary. Now I'm terrified.
It has
of
a new
phrase.
Definition. Quite literal.
Literal gas. Literal bags filled with gas. God. All right. So you want to know what the one thing that the NFL has to get rid of? You want me to tell you this right now? Because I saw this today on Pro Football Talk, and I honestly got pissed. Something that happened to the Titans last year is the scheduling of, if not back-to-back games against divisional opponents, putting one game in between a series against a divisional opponent. So last year for the Titans, it was Thursday Night Football hosting the Colts, then you go to Baltimore, then again you travel to Indianapolis. So the NFL has done the same thing to the Browns and the Ravens this year. After finishing 11-5, winning a playoff game. By the way, shockingly, Titans and Browns have the same amount of primetime games, which I was surprised by.
I thought they were
just going to force feed us Browns throughout the course of this year, especially now. Poor Clowney, he's going to be. He thought he was going there for the spotlight, and now he's only going to be on TV as many times as the Titans are on TV. Could have just stayed here. But anyway, Browns go 11-5, which is still such a foreign concept. Won a playoff game. They're an attractive team to put on the schedule. Not a ton of primetime games on the schedule. They have three plus. They are on Christmas. On Christmas Day, they are on against the Packers. So four. They have a week 13 bye, but they play the Ravens in week 12 and week 14. This is among the dumbest things that NFL schedule makers do. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a situation like this last year. The Titans almost had one. They just had a Ravens game slotted in the middle of it. It is such a disservice to NFL fans, especially with games that are of the utmost importance, even if they are not the primetime better television product. Because nobody's going to sit here and argue with you that Titans and Jags is a terribly important television product, but it is a critical game to teams in the AFC South. In a division like the AFC North, with the Bengals, the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Browns, with these four teams pretty closely tied together, you are going to require that just because I don't know what happened. If they filled out the schedule and they said, okay, we need to find somewhere to put this last game against the Ravens, well, why don't we just put it on the back half of the bye? Makes absolutely no sense to me. The Browns did play the Steelers in back-to-back weeks last year as well. How this continues to happen makes no sense. I want the best possible competition to take place between the teams competing for the division. That is how the vast majority of the playoff spots are decided. Those are the important ones. Don't just jam them. Don't just fit square pegs into round holes because you filled out the rest of the schedule. You made it for television. And then at the end, you're trying to figure out where to put the actual ones of substance. I don't understand. And I don't know much about the NFL schedule making process. So let me not just sit here in front of the microphone and complain about something that I don't have a solution for. My solution, though, I think if I'm looking for a solution, my solution would just be simply don't do that anymore. Figure out a way to get a non-conference game in there or an out-of-conference opponent in there, or not an out-of-conference, a conference opponent as opposed to a divisional opponent. Make the schedule make sense, not just for the television product, understanding, of course, that the television product is the thing that makes us all of the money. And I say us because my income, my mortgage, my lifestyle is directly funded by all things NFL. I understand that it's a massive economy. I understand that the television rights drive that economy. I also understand it's not fair to the teams who are trying to compete for the division to have to face an opponent in back-to-back weeks. Bye week in there, notwithstanding. It's just a waste of time. What's also a waste of time is putting the Cowboys all over national television, but Dak Prescott's back, so that's fine too. What we're going to do when we come back is we're going to make bold predictions, because I'm not going to do schedule predictions. I'm not going to give you a record prediction, but I am willing to kind of like Diana. Diana said very plainly that Julio Jones will not be a Titan in 2021. Lucas and I are going to do the same thing with the schedule. One thing that stands out to us on the schedule, bold predictions on the Titan schedule. Coming up next, I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.